Night Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. And every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we are taking a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel good, the frustrating, and the faith enhancing. It's faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warmth, clarity, and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. Have you ever been so focused on following directions and instructions that you miss the obvious signs? That's where we're headed today on the show with our Anchor Point devotional about rules, signs, and how listening to Jesus means more than just following the last thing that we heard. And then a teacher's going viral for listing 10 things that her third graders cannot do. Some of them are silly, some are kind of serious. Start thinking about what those might be. And then later, I have a story for us that is touching and strange. All at once, it's something new that is changing the way people are grieving. You may love it, you may hate it, but it is worth talking about. Let's get into it. You ever get so locked in on following directions that when things don't line up exactly, your brain just freezes? Like someone says, go to the first door on the left. And when you get to that door, even though that door says, do not enter in big red letters, you're still standing there thinking, but they said the first door. This must be it. All logic and rational thought goes out the window. We are overthinking. Maybe this is a trick. Maybe it's a test. Maybe do not enter is an old sign and they just forgot to take it down. We are so set on following the instructions and directions. All right. Back in high school, I played tennis. And I can't remember if it went exactly like this, but this is a version of how I remember this situation happening and how my brain works. So I'm letting you a little bit into the inside of my head today. We're at an away game. And after the match, the coach says, okay, guys, get on the bus at the front of the line. Front of the line, front of the line, front of the line. I'm just trying to remember that way I get all my things. So I head over there with my friends, teammates, chatting. They're like, I don't know, six buses lined up. We get to the first one, the very front, front of the line. It has the name of a different school on it. Everyone else uses common sense here and walks away from the front of the line. They start to walk down to look for the bus that has the name of our school, but not me, because my brain says, well, no, because the coach told us front of the line. And so I just kind of freeze. What if they're switching the signs soon and it is going to have the name of our school on this bus? What if the other buses are decoys and this is just a test of loyalty to my coach? So at all costs, I am now just staying put in front of the wrong bus. And I kind of know that, but I stay because of the instruction that I was given. It's weird. It's so bizarre. I know what's happening. So I'm standing there at the wrong bus while my teammates and basic reality logic, they're waving me over, get over to our bus. We're over here now. And I know it looks ridiculous, but that rule in my head is so loud and louder than what is right in front of me. Now, researchers say that this is a sign of intelligence, people that are deep thinkers like this. So I'm going to go with that. And I want to bring the faith aspect into this here. John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I don't think I was listening to the right voice. I thought I was going to try and listen to the voice of my coach. But there is a difference between this call to rigid instruction and discernment. Hearing his voice and not just replaying rules and commands. A lot of us might do this. Of course, maybe not necessarily like my bus situation here. But we treat faith like these very black and white instructions. Sometimes there are, but I don't think that is always the case, that we just follow in this robotic obedience that doesn't make any sense. It's like when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they freaked out. You can't do that. Sometimes God invites us to step outside the rule that we thought we had to follow and instead to trust what he is showing us in real time. So he might be telling us to leave the one field or place where we started and to join him in the next. Rules are good, but the shepherd is even better. If our Anchor Point devotional gave you something to think about today, would you please take a moment or two and just follow the podcast? And if you leave a quick review, it doesn't have to be fancy. It really helps people hear some of these moments of truth and encouragement and hope to help ground us in our everyday. It would mean a lot to me as we hope to grow this and help people walk out their faith. Let's see what's happening in the news. All right. A teacher just went viral for listing 10 things that her third graders cannot do. And no, it's not just cursive. We are talking about basic life stuff here. And just see if you can guess some of these things. I'll give you just a second to put maybe three of them together. Cursive, yes. But what else? Tying shoes, knowing their home address. And this one is a little scary. Not knowing the names of their parents. Not knowing their names. They're just mom and dad. That's a third grader. How did we get here to this place that this is actually happening today? I get it. We are busy, right? I mean, we got working parents. We just don't have the time like we used to. But are we so busy that we literally have not taken the time to teach our kids our actual names? I've noticed this actually with kids even older than third grade. They do not know the names of their friends. You know what they do know? They know their friend's username online for games, but they don't actually know their real name. That is really scary. So this teacher was not picking on parents. She was just saying, I could use a little help here. I want to teach them math, but I am getting behind here because I am just too busy teaching them the name of their father. It's an issue. Want a few more? These third graders are not knowing their birth year. They are not able to follow two-step directions, and they have no idea how to use a dictionary. All righty. We got some work to do here. Many of them, they're just not interested in learning. But I do like to look on the bright side here. Maybe we need a little boost today. So if your child can tie a shoe, can say their name and find your house without a GPS, I'd say you're ahead of the curve. And in 2025, that's saying something. If you want a little extra encouragement during your week and you connect to these conversations, I think you'll enjoy our newsletter. It's real, it's authentic, it's grounding. I think we need that today. Go ahead and subscribe. I will leave the link for that in the show notes. It will show up right in your inbox so you don't miss anything. And I truly appreciate and love having you here. Thank you for being a part of this. Okay, we are going to jump into our main story here. And I really want you to listen to this clip. What's happening? And I know that we don't have the visuals. It's all audio. But just picture the scene and listen to what is happening.
He's getting bigger. See?
Oh, honey, that's wonderful.
Kicking like crazy.
He's listening. Put your hand on your tummy and hum to him. You used to love it.
Hi, Grandma.
Hey, Charlie. How was school today?
It was really fun. I made this crazy shot in basketball.
I don't really care that much about basketball. What about the crush?
Stop. Grandma, stop talking.
Just tell me one thing.
Look who's going to be a great grandmother.
Oh, Charlie. Oh, congratulations.
She says that he's been kicking a lot, though. Like, a little too much.
Tell her to put her hand on her tummy and hummed him. You loved that.
What we're hearing is this warm, comforting voice. It's a mother who is FaceTiming her own mother, who is singing to her unborn grandchild. Then we jump ahead a few years, and that unborn baby is now, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, and he's FaceTiming with his grandmother, the grandmother that would sing to him when he was in his mother's belly. And fast forward another decade or two, and the grandson is now telling his grandmother that he is expecting a baby of his own. So it's just this beautiful circle of life story. We're seeing how technology can help us keep in touch with loved ones that are near and far. I mean, we've all had those moments where FaceTime is a lifeline. Love it. But there's one detail here. This grandmother, she's really far away, as in she's dead. She is not alive. What we are listening to is a commercial for a new app called Two-Way that's spelled the number two, W-A-I, if you want to look this up. It's an AI technology that lets you talk to an AI version of someone who has passed away. According to the New York Post, it was launched by former Disney star Callum Worthy. The tagline for this whole thing, 3 minutes can last forever. 3 minutes is all they really need to recreate someone you love who is no longer here. Okay, well, this is welcome to the world. Welcome to 2025 and beyond. The backlash, thank goodness, in my opinion, has been intense. Let's see, some words used to describe it: vile, demonic, deeply troubling, and wrong. So I would say check, check, check to those thoughts. Even so, it is still in existence and it's happening right now, and it is already changing how an entire generation processes loss. Millions have already seen this clip, and many are saying, okay, where do I sign up? I can't wait. And I get maybe the intention behind that, because grief is brutal. Like, it's not fun. And when there is something that can promise even just a little tiny bit of comfort, we like that. And so we say, yes, sign me up for that. If this is going to bring more comfort, I'm on board. But this technology is offering us something that we can't actually get in real life, which is a shortcut around all the hard parts of loss. It's a way to feel close without having to do any of the hard work of going through it or healing. And that is where we can miss the very place that God so often meets us. I want to say this gently because I understand the ache and pain behind all of this is real. Most of us have gone through some form of grief. I still have voicemails of loved ones who have passed away, videos that we show our kids of family that they never got to meet. That longing to preserve the memory, hold on to our loved ones, is very normal and human, just like this woman.
I found out that someone I dated for a long time passed away. Very unexpectedly. And all I keep doing is driving to the spot we used to hang out in, holding his clothes, feeling so much grief. But his funeral is tomorrow on Valentine's Day. And just knowing that someone I pictured my life with at one point is gone forever.
That's grief. But recreating somebody, even with the best intentions, I don't think it leads us toward healing. And just because we can do it now doesn't mean that we should. We have a lot of things in this world today that we're doing because we can, but we probably shouldn't be doing. Now, when my dad passed away, I kept his hats. Good Lord, he had so many baseball hats. And if you ever see me wearing one on social media, yeah, that would be one of his. So I kept a lot of them, but I had to let go of the rest. It was just too much. And of course that was hard because it was part of my dad, not just the hat, but his character, his behavior, all of that wrapped up into this tangible item that I was holding on to. They're the memories that we have. And that's not all, right? My dad, for me, and probably a lot of people, our dad is our rock, our foundation. Why is grounding all of those things that we count on? We look for that steadiness. And when he passed away, I thought, oh my gosh, my rock, my advice giver, it's gone. So I thought. It took a little time to get there, but as a believer, I know who my rock is. And it wasn't my dad. It was Jesus. And Jesus has always been our solid rock foundation. My dad carried that as well. He was a gift, a channel of God's strength, but not the source of it. And that's the difference. Holding on to a hat, holding on to photos, videos, that's one thing. But gripping and holding on to a synthetic version of someone, a voice that talks back, that interacts, that feels alive, but isn't, Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, you know, if my grandfather were here, what would he say about today's politics? What would my dad tell my kids if he were still here? But AI cannot give us their thoughts. It gives us predictions. It can give us patterns of behavior, but it will not give us the soul. It can create new stories that very much sound like the person that we love, but it's fiction. This is my opinion on this. I think if we start to go in this direction and start to seek answers from an AI version of somebody, then we will stop seeking answers from Christ. It just becomes this big distraction from the one single voice that we actually need in our lives, offering us a way to avoid the hardest, holiest parts of being a human being. We live in a grief-avoidant, discomfort-avoidant society. I think that would be a good way to describe it. And the enemy loves anything that will pull us away from dependence on God or convinces us that we can just bypass the reality of a fallen world and fallen creation. This has been in process for a long time. I mean, think about it. Look at some of the things that we're doing today. Genetically modifying babies to remove the discomfort of the slightest imperfection. Therapy today. The therapy apps, not knocking all of them, but many of them and many therapists as well, you sit in a therapy session and they're like your cheerleader. They prop you up instead of building you up, instead of convicting you and challenging you and trying to help you be better. We already have people turning to AI relationships that are just yes men and there's no conflict. It's just whatever you want. There's no growing. And now we're outsourcing grief. We've got AI grandma, a way to create a constant state of comfort without having to surrender to anything, without any holiness. This is not going to be good. This does not have a good ending. I don't see it. Major impacts on our society, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritual, all of it. It's not theoretical. There are real consequences to this. It's going to keep us stuck. It's going to delay closure. It interrupts the whole natural grief journey, the place where God often meets us to help us heal, to turn to Him. I mean, if you're sharing this fake grandma with your kids, what do they think of people that have passed on? Are they really gone? Or is this now a crutch that they lean on? They'll start to see loss as just something that's optional. You know, well, let's bring back our pet too. And the more you do this and the more you're in it, then I think we start to lose sight of reality because it completely bypasses lament and real grief. It takes a path that tells us that we don't even need God's comfort because we can manage this ourselves. I mean, you're resurrecting your loved one without the help or hope of God. And it's counterfeit. Let's go to scripture for a second. Jesus wept. That is the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Jesus, fully God and fully man, stood at the tomb of Lazarus and wept. Jesus wept with human grief. Grief was not bypassed. He went into it. He wept because he saw what sin and death has done to the world, all the brokenness and pain and the devastation of the fall of creation. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. And I think that is why grief hurts so deeply, because we know that we were made for more. And so when a loved one is gone, there's just this incredible grief because we feel that rupture of something that is not supposed to be. We feel the wrongness of death because death was never part of God's original design. And that's where Satan comes in through all of these new tools and technology and tries to hit us in that longing by offering us a version of that, but on our own and saying, oh, you can have that. You've got this counterfeit eternity, a hologram of the person that we love that we don't want to have pass away. So we bring them back in this weird version. But Jesus gives us the real resurrection, the full, real, forever life. And when scripture says Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, this is the exact imitation we are talking about. It's a knockoff spirituality, counterfeit salvation. Scripture also speaks directly to this whole idea of seeking out the dead, you know? A lot of these warnings in the Bible come from some of the occult practices and mediums and different kind of wild, bizarre rituals trying to cross over between the living and the dead. But Isaiah 8:19 says it like this, and go read the whole verse and section later if you can. But it says, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? And that's not a weird or spooky thing. I see it as a protective measure. God is saying, come to me. I am your source of comfort and wisdom and life. Just think this through a little bit, especially if you are considering doing this or you're curious. It's kind of wild when you think about it, because you are uploading all of this information about your deceased mom or dad. So where does this data even live? We're giving it to somebody outside of our family. And how do we really know the character of grandpa after he's gone? I mean, just because he loved cherry pie when he was alive doesn't mean that he wouldn't be sick of it today. And then what happens when AI decides to give a little update to their personality to keep up with the times? Like, grandpa needs to get with the program kind of thing. And don't forget, grandma comes with a subscription model, because of course there's a subscription. No payment, no grandma. You know, she just logs off if you can't pay. And worse, maybe she doesn't disappear at all. Maybe she disappears for you, but then the company still has her data and then they loan her out to someone else who needs a grandma. You might literally have to keep paying a monthly fee to keep grandma alive. No thanks. And get ready, because, all right, here we go. This does not stop with grandma or grandpa. Once you can bring back a loved one, the next question becomes, well, who else? What about Jesus? What about the disciples? Maybe you want to hang out with Peter, or you're curious what Paul would say, David would say. I mean, they're not disciples, but people would certainly try to revive them. Just pick your favorite Bible character, and then suddenly they're alive on your screen. AI Jesus telling us who to date, how to discipline our kids, whether to stay in our marriage, who to vote for, offering us modern day spiritual guidance that feels comforting. I mean, it sounds wise, and it will all sound so familiar, but it's not Jesus. I'm telling you, the AI Bible is coming, where, I mean, we know we have scripture as the living, breathing word of God, but Satan and his minions are going to try to distort that by creating their own living and breathing interactive version of Jesus and AI disciples. It'll be scripture with commentary generated by algorithms and an imitation that feels very personal and wise, but it's just this living hallucination telling us what we want to hear. It's terrible. Resurrection belongs to God alone. That will not change. AI can give us a hologram. Jesus gives us life. He gives us eternity. He gives us restoration. He gives us real resurrection. He gives us real relationship. He gives us real human flourishing. And I'm not going to go down this trail, but just think about this too. So many people have a hard time believing in the resurrection of Jesus, yet they will completely change their entire life to live around the advice of a resurrected AI version of their grandma. That they will believe, but not Jesus, who we have proof of him walking on this earth and major historical data to prove that he is Christ. But no, 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 no. We'll go with this company two-way. They have the way. We've got to go through real mental hoops to get there. But that's what we do. That's what Satan does. It's a fallen, broken world. All right. Well, what can we do with this new technology that is probably here to stay? When it comes to grief, remember our loved ones honestly, not artificially. I mean, tell stories, look at photos, read journals, keep the memories and traditions alive. But let's not manufacture new moments. If anything, the loss of our loved ones should point us to the fall of creation and the one who restores. And then don't be afraid to walk through grief. No, it's not fun, but let's not outsource it. That will not lead to our flourishing. Going into the place that's hard, where there's pain, we ache and we feel that fall of creation, but we don't ever have to go it alone because Jesus is with us in all our circumstances. So that valley and that dark place that we are in will shape us, and it will shape us with a whole lot of hope. Grief is not a problem to solve because we already have the fixer of it. The third thing is that to find the hope in Jesus Christ, not in holograms, not in an artificial resurrection, in the true resurrection of Christ, who has prepared a place for us. That is the hope that sustains us, not a $20 a month subscription. Technology is going to keep giving us all of these shortcuts, all of these ways to take God out of our lives, and it cannot ever create holy things. There will always be another app, another algorithm, another promise of comfort without the cost or the pain. But if we want an everlasting life, a holy life, then we can't take those shortcuts. Grief is going to hurt, but it also heals. And sometimes what hurts the most is what God uses us to anchor us deep in our faith and our relationship with Him. And so as AI just keeps offering all of these illusions, we can hold on to the one who conquered death, the one who walked through the valley himself so that we would never have to walk it alone. If you are in a place of grief, know that I am praying for you always, just praying for people that are going through hard times. Know that you can always come reach out and talk with us in the Inside Out community on Facebook. It's a group, a private group that I would love to have you join for connection and conversation. There are real people there. We definitely need each other in this. We really do. And just remember who holds on to you through all of it. Well, that is it for today. No show next Thursday. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. So until next time, a few weeks from now, think differently, choose wisely, and remember to live your life inside out.